We extend a warm welcome to everyone to church this morning on this Lord's Day. And if you don't know who I am, I'm the Reverend John Wilson, a member of St. Luke's and the former minister of Temple Annieslan. And my wife and I are delighted to be with you once again this morning. The intimations, I think, are fairly self-explanatory. Remember the trade car stall that will be there this morning, and the holiday club. Please remember that. It's important for outreach into the community. So we praise God for that too. Isaiah wrote, "In that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel." Let us worship God as we sing together in the hymn number 44, "Praise Waits for Thee in Zion, Lord." Let's come together and let us share together in prayer. Let us pray. Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. To thee vows paid shall be. O thou that hearer art of prayer, all flesh shall come to thee. Lord, our praise does not wait in Zion, but it comes to you now in adoration, because we rejoice that you are our God. We rejoice that you have loved us from the beginning of time, and you have remembered and watched over each and every one of us in our times of trouble. We ask you to forgive us when our worship has not been worthy of you, when our love has been so small that we have made little or no impact on others. There are times when we have been too preoccupied by the things that are important to us, and not about the things that are important to you. Lord, we need your forgiveness, and so we come seeking it as we confess our sinfulness and the ways in which we have let you down. We ask that you would teach us to serve you as we should, that we should give to others and not count the cost to ourselves, to fight and not to worry about the wounds, to work hard and not to worry about the need for rest. Father, help us. Help us to realize that when we do anything, we are doing it for you and for your glory. And so, Father, in your presence, we may seem small in comparison to the wonder of creation, and yet you care about us. Lord, we know that you hear us. And so we pray together as you taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, I'm glad to see some boys and girls here this morning. It's lovely to have you. One thing we've seen a lot of in the last week or so is water. And it's been pouring down from the sky so badly in Leicestershire. They've had floods. So much water everywhere. But water is something we need. We need it to wash. We need it to use the washing machine, the dishwasher, the clothes, us, lots of things, water, and we need it to drink, don't we? We need water to drink. And there are tremendous stories in the Bible about water. And one of them is when the children of Israel were fleeing the Egyptians, and they came to the Red Sea, and they couldn't get across. There was no bridge. There was no boat. And God miraculously opened the water up, and they were able to walk straight through. And then it closed back over again. What a miracle. Have you seen a miracle? No, I haven't. Well, I have seen some. A baby being born is a miracle. But you know, all sorts of things can happen. And I want to tell you something about a miracle. There was a story one time in the Bible about Jesus being at a wedding. Have any of you been at a wedding? Hands up if you've been at a wedding. Good. My word. Well, if you haven't been at a wedding, it's great fun. There's food to eat. And some people enjoy a lot of a liquid that's not water. And people have a wonderful time. But on this occasion, Jesus was at this wedding. And the wine ran out. And the man organising it all said, went up to the bridegroom and said, "Look, there's no wine left." And he said, "You should have given the poor stuff first and not the good stuff." But Jesus' mum overheard this. And she said to Jesus, "Now, you could do something here. Can you sort this out?" And Jesus said, "It's not the time." But his mum said to the people there, "Look, just do as he says." Well, you know what life is. If mum says do it, you do it. And so Jesus did that. And he said to them, "Right, there's all those pitchers. And fill them with water." And so I've just got a glass and I've got some water. You saw it going in, didn't you? Jesus' water turned into wine. And there was enough for everyone. It's a miracle. And God works miracles. And wine comes from a vine. And a vine has different parts. It's got roots and it's got stems, it's got grapes. All kinds of things that make wine eventually. And there's a passage in the Bible that talks about it as being a branch of the vine. We're a part of the vine. We're a part of Jesus. And so, from a miracle of turning water into wine. But it's not wine. I'm not that good. Jesus made a spectacular response and people responded to Jesus. Not just then, but for all time. And it's important that we trust Jesus, that we're a branch of Jesus, and we're able to share and help other people. Now, I haven't asked you to come out here, you'll be glad to know. But you know, if you're asked to do something like that, whether it's in church or a school, God is with you because you're a branch and Jesus is the vine. We're going to sing together the hymn that we have for you. It's "My Jesus, My Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love." Mission Praise 1003. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's Word in the New Testament in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and reading there from verse 1. John 15, and there at verse 1. Let us read the Word of God. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he trims and cleans, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and to his name be all the praise and the glory. So as we come to that passage in a moment or two, let's sing together in hymn number 463, Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of All Nature. 463. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word, we ask that we might see beyond any individual, that we might, through the word spoken, meet and see Jesus for ourselves. Lord, speak to your people gathered here in this congregation. Lord, we sit in anticipation of what you have to say. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, you celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And it seems appropriate to come to this passage that could be closely associated with that sacrament. It's one of the great I Am passages. And each of those passages tells us something about Jesus, and it tells us about our relationship with him. And on this occasion, Jesus said, I am the true vine. What we need to appreciate is that in these words spoken by Jesus, they were spoken to his disciples. It doesn't appear to have been open to everyone to hear that was round about him. He took his disciples to some place and shared it with them. And what was said was important. And what is written is thought to be information that was given to the disciples as a preparation for their journey without Jesus, towards the time when they would be at the Lord's Supper, the last one, and Jesus would die, and then they would be left on their own before he ascended into heaven. It's also an indication that even when he was not there, the work he started had to continue through their lives and through their witness at that time. But to reinforce that and develop what he said a little, Jesus added some words to that. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine reveals both our unity and our diversity. The vine is a plant. It has roots, a stem, branches, leaves, tendrils, grapes. But it's only one plant with all of these things. And you and I are similarly described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:12, that we are made up of different parts. We've got hands, we've got feet, we've got a head, we've got a heart, we've got arms, we've got legs. There are different parts of our body, but we are only one person within it all. And in this way, Jesus, in using this plant as a visual aid, is saying to us, we are part of him. We are vitally connected to him as branches are to a vine. Severed from him, we're without purpose. We're without direction. And Jesus told this parable to remind the disciples that they were not alone. As they needed encouragement, so do we in our day and age. And our encouragement must be realistic, not with false promises or platitudes that mean absolutely nothing. And I don't know about you, it almost seems like that to me at the moment in the news, listening to these prospective candidates, now reduced to two for the Conservative leadership, each trying to convince their party that they are the one to lead them. And we hear so many false promises, I think we eventually stop listening. Jesus, however, does not make false promises. And what he is saying here, and what he was pointing out to the disciples and indirectly asking us, what is our relationship with Jesus? What is our relationship with God? It ought to be like the branches of that plant, that we are engrafted into Jesus and so to one another. He is saying, if you love me, then we are as one. And there are times when you and I must ask ourselves, what is my relationship with Jesus? Are we standing at a distance where we have maybe been cut off because we are not living as we ought to? Or are we just not a part of the true vine? When you celebrated the Lord's Supper, you broke bread. You shared wine. These were symbols of Christ's body and blood. And in that service, you handled these elements of bread and wine. And in doing so, you were drawing in the presence of God into your life. And here we're described in this parable that we are to identify Jesus as the vine. We are the branches, and God is the gardener. And so when we consider this parable, we mustn't be sidetracked down roads that will lead us nowhere. But we're to take the basic elements and see what God is saying to his people. And so, what is he saying to us? Verse 5 again, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a very clear statement, where Jesus is revealing to the disciples the relationship which ought to exist between true believers and himself. He's clearly saying that our relationship with Jesus should be as close as a branch is to the stem of a plant, in this case, a vine. It doesn't mean that we are stuck on. It doesn't mean that we are taped on. We are to be an integral part of the whole plant. And so the branch is much a part of the plant as the stem and other parts of the vine. The roots and the main stem in any plant is vital. It's a vital link to ensure growth and for branches to come. We noted earlier the relationship. Jesus is the stem and we are the branches. But our union with Christ, our union with Christ is vital if we are to grow in our faith, because we will then be engrafted into Christ. In gardening, we know that a branch requires a sound connection to the stem. If there's a break and no sap goes up that branch, then the leaves at the end and the branch itself will eventually die. Well, when we consider this parable in the light of the Christian man or woman, we need to see our relationship with Christ as being that close. It's only through such a vital and positive union with Jesus that we will grow, that we will mature, and our Christian lives will be better. When a plant receives its nourishment through its root system, it's then, if you like, transmitted to the rest of the plant. The plant then has power. It has power to push its way through the soil initially, and then to grow tall and to grow straight. It also receives strength to support the flower or the fruit. And from it comes the beauty of that fruit or flower. Jesus is the stem. He is the one to give us the power that we need, that we might then project and reveal Jesus to others and encourage them to discover the need to follow Jesus. And it's only when we have that union, that we will bear fruit. It says there, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. It is therefore very clear that without Christ, we achieve very little for the kingdom of God. In other words, we need to draw upon the stem, which is Christ, because he is our enabler. We should find this comforting and constructive because it helps us realize that we need not worry, nor should we despair. Because if we are in union with Christ, he will give us the power to do all things. We have that connection. We will then grow. And what a benefit that will be to the church in our day. I wonder, when you're talking to people about your faith, or as you listen to people talking about what a Christian is, it seems to have an awful lot of wide varying definitions. I was taken aback a long time ago when someone said to me, there are false Christians and true Christians. There are some people who can say and do the right thing, but it does not seem to bear any fruit. A gardener may say, I'll give this plant one more year, and if it doesn't bear fruit, I'll cut it out and plant something else in its place. For a Christian, it may be that the gardener will say, he or she, I'll have to take out the plant because they're not playing their part. We could be judgmental in that. We could say something about another person's faith from what we see. The danger in doing that is that we might not see what's done that is bearing fruit elsewhere. I was visiting someone in hospital, a man I knew who was a faithful member of his congregation. And as I was about to leave his bedside, I asked him if we might have a word of prayer. His response was, yes. When I had finished my prayer, he joined me and he prayed. What a blessing that was to me, and I trust to him, as we shared that moment in Christ's presence. We were branches connected to that stem, and in Christ's presence. You see, sometimes our perception of a person is wrong, but Jesus knows who are his. And if we are his, we will be blessed. For those who do not have that union with Christ, who do not believe or who ignore Christ, there is a warning. The divine gardener reminds us in verse 2, he cuts off every branch that bears me no fruit. He separates that person from himself, because the person, it would seem, has no part of him. If they do not believe, if they do not participate, then we may ask, where is their faith? What has gone wrong? I remember in one of my parishes, a lady came to church. I hadn't seen her before, and learned that she had just moved into the town. After a few weeks, I went to visit her, and I went into the house and we sat and chatted. Her husband was there, who had never been in the building, and he started to tell me that he had no time for the church. Education was all that was important. I asked him when he had last been in church. Oh, he said, about 40 years ago. He had pointed out all that he thought was wrong with the church as he saw it. And I challenged him. I said, I challenge you to come to church for a month and I will revisit you. I wanted to see if his opinion was the same or had it changed. He came every Sunday. After the month, I went to the house and I said, well, he said, things have changed. He then came to church every Sunday until he died. Maybe sometimes we need challenged about our faith. Maybe we need to heed the warning that if the branch is broken, if our link with the church becomes tenuous, then our faith will die. Sometimes we need to be challenged about our faith. And maybe if we respond, will we become a new person? There are some people who, when they meet God, will say, he will say, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we read, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The true Christian is described in the Bible as the one who loves God, who is prepared to follow him all the days of their lives. They have acknowledged what Christ did when he died on the cross. They are attached to the stem. They are close to Christ. They are willing to do his will. And they are in constant communion with God every day of their life, not just on Sundays. He is the vine, and we are the branches. Last week you saw and tasted the fruit of the vine, the symbol of Christ's blood shed on our behalf. How evident is the cost of that blood in our lives? Because we are the fruit of the Spirit when we serve Christ. In our lives, we can go one way or the other. The sad part is that those whose link is fragile and feeble, they may wither and die and so be separated from the company of believers. I'm frightened for. I'm concerned for. Those who have ignored God. Note the words there. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. That to me is a frightening prospect. To be cast out from the presence of God. But the exciting part is, Jesus always throws out a lifeline. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish for and it will be given you. He says, I'm here. Come. I'm listening. That is surely an assurance and an encouragement to the true Christian who's attached to the stem, to know that they are part of the vine, bearing the fruit for the glory of God. As we said earlier, the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of a true Christian. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The fruit comes by abiding in Christ or remaining in Christ. And as long as our hearts are open Our lives will grow. And as we grow, we will gain richer and more meaningful fellowship with God. Within ourselves, we will come to know Christ better and be more aware of his will and his purpose for our lives. And as we abide in the Father, then he will protect and watch over us. Or we can go through difficult times. But do you remember when Paul was on his journey to Rome and there was a long, dangerous journey at sea and a storm blew up and it raised high and dangerous and the sailors turned to Paul and said, "What will we do? What will we do?" And Paul said, "I urge you to keep your courage because not one of you will be lost." God, if we trust him, will protect us, just as a hen protects her chicks. God does watch over us in all circumstances. I read a story that happened in April 1942. A crippled troopship was heading across the Bay of Biscay. She was accompanied by an old V8 W-class destroyer. She was accompanied by that destroyer. Visibility was good, and up in the crow's nest was able seaman Blaker. He was the only professing Christian on the destroyer, and he called out, "Smoke ahead!" He called out, "Ship on fire!" The convoy headed for the smoke. When they reached it, it turned out just to be a dense mist. And it completely enveloped the whole of that convoy. Shortly afterwards, they heard the drone of a reconnaissance aircraft overhead. It passed over a second time. It passed over a third time. And then there was silence. The mist lifted. And the convoy was once again exposed. And it said, "We cannot ignore that God protected 250 men because of one Christian." God does protect those who love and abide in his love. He is with us in every aspect of our lives. It covers every aspect of our lives mentally, emotionally, prayerfully, obediently, and in our fellowship with others. When we are apart from Christ, we can do very little. With him, we can do all things through his strength and energy, because we are part of the living vine that is Jesus. And so we can do all things. I noticed just this week on the internet that in Hong Kong, where you've seen all those tremendous displays of what they're trying to do with extradition, and it said there, that group of people are using the hymn "Hallelujah to the Lord" as an anthem. The Christians in Hong Kong have encouraged people to see that. And finally, God will increase the holiness of the true Christian by his dealing with them. He certainly said he would cut off the branches that would not bear fruit, but he also said, every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will bear more fruit. And that's true in the garden. If we prune a plant carefully, it will produce more fruit or more flowers the following year. Sometimes it's when we're in difficult situations that God encourages us. He sometimes takes things or situations away from us to help us see God more clearly. I recall a number of years ago seeing a young man who was being interviewed on television. He had just had part of his leg amputated. And in that interview he said, "It may seem drastic, but if this leg had not been removed, I would be dead." This was a drastic measure, but it had a positive outcome. He was alive. And within this passage, there's a reference to the trials that we may have to face in life. Oh, we suffer tragedies, bereavements, and we wonder why. Sometimes things happen in order that we might be drawn closer to God and depend upon Him more. God is saying to us, depend on me. Trust me. Let me help you. And by trusting Him more and fulfilling His will, He will make us more holy and so bear fruit that we have a strong bond and connection to the vine, to the stem that is Christ. In becoming holy, I do not mean that we become more pious or self-righteous. God is saying, come under my protection. Wean yourself away from the world and be drawn closer to God. Be patient in times of darkness and know God. The trials we go through are not meant to harm us, but to help us trust God and so become more fruitful. Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser or gardener. And we are the branches. Those who bear no fruit will be cut off unless they repent. But to those who love God and have found strength in Him, Jesus said, "I will do it, He will give it, and it will take place." We are true branches connected to the vine. Then all will be done in harmony with Christ. The vine produces the wine which symbols Christ's blood. For the plant to bear fruit, it needs to be cared for. The Lord our God is the vine dresser and desires that you and I are branches of that living vine that is Jesus. And it's then He will take care of us. No matter the circumstances, no matter the situation we are in, He is here and He's with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are indeed with us. You share with us in all things. Lord, You are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, help us to always serve You and be near You. Lord, our God, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together in hymn number 562, "Through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well." The psalmist said, "You are faithful in all your words and loving in all your deeds. You support all who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. Lord, accept these our offerings as we give them to You. And so in humility we come before You to give You thanks for all that You have done for us, to remember the many who may not pray for themselves, but who find themselves in difficulty. We remember the needs of those whose lives are troubled in many parts of the world because of terrorism and violence. Lord, bring peace to our world. We remember our missionaries in many parts of the world. Protect those who are in difficult and troubled areas of the world. We would seek to remember those who are ill, whether at home or in hospital. Lord, let Your healing hand touch their lives. Remember those in our community who are grieving, that they may find comfort and support from a caring and loving congregation. We pray for those in our parish who are not known to us. May we be an example to them as we reach out to share the message of Jesus' love. We pray for our own members and their particular needs at this time. Help us to know new people better and so draw them closer to you. Remember and pray for our holiday club and many other holiday clubs that will take place this summer. We remember the seaside mission teams and Scripture Union camps that will take place. We pray for safety for all, and be with all who will participate, and may you bless the children that will come. We pray that you would bless all the work in the church and in the community that seek to help others. Above all, we thank you that we have been able to sit under your word, and that we may be blessed in having heard you speak to us. Lord, bless us now and forevermore. Amen. We close our worship by singing together Vision Praise 870. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit glorify you now and in the days to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.